committee will come to order. We have on our agenda for today, we are going to introduce the contents of a delete-all amendment to Senate File 27. It was introduced as a corporate income tax bill. Along with Chair Davids in the House, we've agreed to delete the entirety of that bill and use that Senate file number as our vehicle for the tax omnibus bill. Let me start by saying there are no corporate income tax provisions in the bill. Just a couple of comments about the bill and the work that's been done by members of the committee that have helped here with this bill, with its construction, and also a word of a thanks to staff who have worked really hard in putting this bill together and preparing the spreadsheets and summaries that you'll have available today. I'm grateful for them.
Seriously.
Just a couple of context comments from me. Let me just say that our entire tax budget is property tax aids and credits, 100%. So every dollar of the tax committee budget is an aid or a credit or a property tax relief program. So all reductions will have an impact somewhere. Under current law, we have a $3.5 billion budget, which is 8.9% of general fund spending. Our goal was to reduce, our target was to reduce that by 22%, or $780 million. So that said, that being a pretty big mission, our goals were these. Number one, to meet the target without raising revenues. And we have fulfilled this goal. Number two was to minimize the impact of the reductions to property tax owners and payers across the state and make our reductions in a deliberate manner with the intent of prioritizing and maintaining core programs. Number three was to provide as much tax relief as possible to property tax owners and payers as possible. That includes individual, business, agricultural, and seasonal property tax owners. Number four was to put in place short and long-term reforms to strengthen the relationship between property taxpayers and local government by directing our relief to the property tax owners as much as possible, which is preferred to to subsidizing local government budgets, which is complicated and lacks transparency, and also to reinforce the principles of local control, increase the autonomy of local and government entities, and encourage consolidation. Fifth was to focus on the principles of sound tax policy, especially simplicity, transparency, neutrality, and stability. And finally, to improve the state's job and business climate to encourage and stimulate growth in the economy. And Senator Michelle, there is no order there on those goals. But I'd also note that Minnesota raises sales and income taxes, and those folks that pay the sales and income taxes are paying higher rates to fund the $3.5 billion in property tax aids and credits in this budget. It's paid as a subsidy to local governments. In our view, we have more government than we can afford. So we've reduced aids and credits by 22% as a long-term permanent reform. These programs have grown substantially since LGA was first introduced in 1971, and it was our job to look at it and make sure that we were spending each dollar as effectively and efficiently as possible on behalf of those that pay these taxes to support these programs. With that said, we have counsel here that will go through the major articles in the bill, and we have our fiscal analyst who will go through a spreadsheet. We'll talk about how we reached our targets and the types of reductions and the types of relief that we've included in the bill. With that, Nora Pollack is here. Ms. Pollack.
Madam Chair, we'll start with Article 1, income and estate taxes. Section 1 in Article 1 is just authorization for the Commissioner of Revenue to share data with the Wisconsin Secretary of Revenue, and this is for purpose of conducting the income tax reciprocity benchmark study that's described in Section 13 later in this article. Sections 2 and 5 include a income tax subtraction for military retirement pay, and this begins for tax year 2011 with a 20% deduction, and that's phased in over 3 years, so it's 35% in 2012 and going to 55% in 2013. Section 3 adds tuition payments to the list of eligible expenses, that Minnesota taxpayers can claim a credit for. Section 4 covers the income tax reciprocity agreements. In particular here, this section states that a new agreement must specify that any payments due, and that payments must also be made in the fiscal year for which the revenue loss occurred. Section 6 is a checkoff for the budget reserve fund. Sections 7 through 12 allows for a subtraction for combined value of qualified farm and small business property of up to $4 million. Section 13 directs the Department of Revenue and the Wisconsin Department of Revenue to conduct a study on income reciprocity. And Section 14 contains appropriations for the reciprocity benchmark study and the budget reserve checkoff. Article 2 covers sales taxes. Section 1 contains an exemption for certain medical devices. It exempts from sales tax items purchased in transactions covered by Medicare and Medicaid, and it also exempts accessories and supplies that are required for the effective use of durable medical equipment that do not meet the exemption allowed under current law. Section 3 is a exemption for resale tickets, sales tax on resale tickets. Sections 4 through 6 contain a local sales exemption for townships. Section 7 adds a sales tax exemption for the sale or purchase of small aircraft and aircraft equipment used to maintain those small aircraft. Section 8 is a local sales tax, pertains to local sales tax authorization, and it just kind of it strikes some language that's no longer needed. Sections 9 and then 11 through 13 provides a kind of an umbrella local sales tax authorization for cities who choose to approve local sales taxes under certain conditions. And that those sections also include an offset for LGA payments if those cities adopt local sales taxes. Section 10 also has to do with local sales tax authorization. It requires voter approval before a local option sales tax may be brought before the legislature. And Section 14 through 20 are individual local option sales taxes. Madam Chair.
Article 3 is tax aids and credits, and I believe Ms. Doss is here to review that. And Article 4 is property tax. Article 5 is tax increment finding, and Ms. Joanne Zoff will introduce those articles. I'm sorry. Jack Paulson will introduce the tax aids and credits, Article 3.
Madam Chair and members, Article 3, tax aids and credits, is on page 33 of the bill, page 5 of the summary. The first two sections of that article deal with payment in lieu of tax, or PILT, and the bill, or the article, reduces PILT payments by 15%. The first two sections, first one is public hunting areas. The second is goose management croplands. Section 3 is just deleting a reference to the political contribution refund that's repealed in the last section of the article. Sections 4 and 5, the bill converts the current homestead market value credit into an exclusion from value. It reduces tax capacity by the same amount as the credit is currently. And so that's those two sections. The next two sections, 6 and 7, just strike references to the reimbursement for the homestead credit. The sections stay there because the agricultural credit will still be in law. So it limits the payments to the agricultural credit. Section 8 on page 36 begins the reductions to market value credit, that's for 2011 only because the credit is gone in 2012. And this is the same language that was before the committee before in Senate File 60 at that time. It later was amended into Senate File 82 in the Finance Committee and became House File 130 that was vetoed by the governor. So it's referred in different ways, but this is the same language. And it reduces the market value credits to the amount that was received by counties or cities for payable 2010 after the reductions that were made by the 2010 legislature, the unallotments that were ratified by the legislature, the governor's unallotments. Moving on to Section 9, that's just a reference to the homestead credit being stricken starting in payable 2012. Section 10 on page 37 deals with disparity reduction aid, and we are eliminating disparity reduction aid for counties and for townships. So beginning in 2012, going forward, it will only apply to school districts, and school districts will receive the amount that they received in 2011 going forward. Section 11 on page 38 is the disparity reduction credit, sometimes referred to as the border city credit. Is the cities in the northwestern part of the state. This credit is being phased out over 4 years, beginning in taxes payable 2012 at 25% a year. It's repealed in 2015. Section 12 and 13 again relate to the conversion of the market value homestead credit, just striking references to the credit in the tax statement. Section 14 again deals with the political contribution refund, and also Section 15, deleting references to the refund because it's repealed. Section 16 and 17 deal with the property tax refund for renters. This again is the same provision that was in Senate File 60 when it came through the committee, and it reduces rent constituting property taxes from 19% to 15% of rent paid. Moving on to Section 18 on page 43, there is a new property tax refund schedule. It's a little confusing just to look at the language. There is a handout in the packets that looks like this. It says PTR, current law, homeowner, tax year 2011, and then the base year. And it shows the differences between the copay percentages under current law and under the proposal in this bill. The refund, the maximum refund is going from $2,410 to $2,500 at the low end. So you can see and compare what's going on with the property tax refund. The reason we strike all the section or the, all of the language that's currently there is because we're updating the income amounts for inflation. So and then the next section, Section 19, restarts the inflation again going forward. Section 20 is reduction for county program aid. Again, this is the same provision that was in Senate File 60, and it reduces county program aid to the lesser of the 2010 final aid after cuts or the amount certified to receive in 2011. Section 21 is on page 46, and that deals with city local government aid. The county program aid and local government aid are frozen for 2 years, for 11 and 12, and then in 13, the distribution starts up again, and at that time we're using the 2012 distribution as the basis for the minimums and maximums in the formula, and then starting in 2014 again, we go with the minimums and maximums will be based on aid in the previous year, and that again is the same as what we had in the earlier bill. Section 22 then is again from Senate File 16. It just says that the local government aid received by a city is the lesser of the amount received in 2010 final after cuts or 2011 certified. And the last few lines of that section deal with the city of Houston that we added that amendment because of their specific issue there. And like Senate File 60, the appropriations are reduced permanently for cities from $527 million to $426 million. For counties, it's actually in two parts, but it's approximately $197 million going to about $165 million. And those are ongoing.
Thank you.
Sections 24, 25... Sections 26 and 27 again deal with reductions to payment in lieu of taxes, the 15% reduction. You can see the rate changes there. In some cases, the rates are indexed, and so the amount actually looks higher in the bill, but that's because the indexing is not reflected in the language. The bill actually repeals the indexing on payment in lieu of taxes going forward. Section 28 on page 51 deals with the rent credit refunds that are currently being claimed and authorizes the commissioner to recalculate those refunds using the 15% rather than the 19%. Again, that's a provision that was in the previous bill. Section 29 is for the market value credit on the property tax statement, and basically it the statement will be adjusted so that the gross tax shown for 2011 or the previous year is going to be adjusted by the amount of the credit, so you'll have a comparable number on the statement. Section 30 on page 51 is it's consolidation grants, and it authorizes the state auditor to make grants to local governments to facilitate a consolidation process. The grants are limited to $100,000 per grant. The amount is determined by the auditor. Report is required, and it's limited to $3.5 million in fiscal years 12 and 13. Section 31, then, is a repealer. The first two lines repeal the political contribution refund. C is the indexing of PILT and the wetlands reimbursement. Section line D is the reduction in market value of credits that's in current law that won't be needed going forward. E is the disparity reduction credit that's repealed in 2015 payable year. And F is the sustainable forest is repealed, and that's effective July 1st, 2011, and covenants are void on that date. The commissioner will release the enrollees from the covenant as of that date. Madam Chair, that's Article 3.
Mr. Paulson, thank you. Now we have counsel on the property tax, Joanne Zoff.
Madam Chair, members, the summary of Article 4 begins on page 8. Section 1 is the a bill that was heard by the committee, was offered by Senator Gazelka, that modifies the holding period that applies to property held by a political subdivision for future economic development and increases the period of the property tax exemption from 8 years to 10 years. Section 2 is a bill that was heard by the committee of Senator Rosens that provides a personal property tax exemption at a particular electric generating facility that will be built sometime after the end of after the end of 2011. Section 3 is a provision that was offered by Senator Vanderveer that provides that if an assessor denies an application for Green Acres treatment, the appeal may be heard by the local board of appeals and equalization.
My bill has an extra Section 1 property tax working group. It doesn't track. Are we working off the A1 amendment?
I'm sorry, we were reviewing this summary, Senator Marty, and it may not track every change that may have recently been made. Do you want to explain that, Ms. Zoff, and what that is?
Yeah.
Thank you for catching that, Senator Marty.
Senator Marty, you're correct. That was I didn't catch that in doing the redoing the summary. Section 1 of the bill, which begins on page 52, the new language is on page 53, expands the duties of the property tax working group that was created in last year's tax bill. And this gives the working group a couple of additional topics to analyze. First, they're supposed to present a specific recommendation on an equitable and efficient approach to the elimination of the Metropolitan Fiscal Disparities Program. And they're also supposed to provide suggestions for an approach to the a reasonable approach to the distribution of the proceeds of the in lieu of property tax taxes, the taconite production tax, and the net proceeds tax on non-ferrous minerals to analyze what's an appropriate distribution between the local governments and the state. So thank you. So then each of the sections in the summary will be off by one. So it'll be Section 3 of the bill deals with the personal property tax exemption for the electric generating facility. Section 4 is the appeal of the Green Acres. Sections 5 to 7 and 12, this is the bill of Senator Miller's that was passed out of committee, dealing with elimination of some of the restrictions that are currently in the Rural Preserves Program. Particularly significant, it eliminates the requirement that there be a covenant and that the land be enrolled for a minimum of 8 years. Section 8 of the bill, 7 in the summary, provides a modification of the duration of the property tax exemption for the homestead of a disabled veteran after the death of the veteran. This was taken from a bill of Senator Wieger's, but it's been modified in consultation with the assessors so that this version now would provide the additional benefit for a period of 5 taxable years after the death of the disabled veteran or until the time that the spouse sells or disposes of the property or remarries, which is new to this law. It also requires that to the extent the exemption carries over to the surviving spouse, that person would have to apply annually to the assessor to maintain that exemption. Section 9 of the bill deals with the authorization of the local boards of appeals to hear the Green Acres appeals. Section 10 of the bill on page 61 is a reduction of the state general levy that currently applies to commercial industrial property and seasonal recreational properties. Beginning with taxes payable in 2012, the levy for commercial industrial properties is set at $702,700,000, and the base for the seasonal rec properties is at $39,800,000. That will be in effect for taxes payable in 2012 and 2013. In the next 2 subsequent taxable years, those base amounts are decreased by 5% each, and then in the subsequent taxes payable years, those amounts are decreased by 10% until, beginning with taxes payable in 2024, the levy is no longer in effect. Section 11 of the bill is a technical amendment eliminating the apportionment of the general levy between those 2 types of properties. That's eliminated. The repealer repeals, paragraph A is a repeal of one of the provisions in the Rural Preserves Law that is no longer needed. And Paragraph B is the repealer, which doesn't begin until after taxes payable in 2024 of the state general levy. Article 5 is the article dealing with the tax increment financing provisions. Sections 1 and 2 were taken from a bill of Senator Senjum's, and Senator Chamberlain had a similar bill that dealt with one of these provisions. These provisions are somewhat more limited in that they extend, and these provisions dealt with the extension of the special authorization for use of increments that were enacted as part of the 2010 jobs bill. The deadline for using those provisions had been set at July 1, 2011. These two provisions extend those each for 1 year, but provide that the extension does not apply to housing projects. Section 3 is taken from a bill that was offered by Senator Jungbauer with respect to an existing tax increment financing district in the city of Ramsey. His bill contained a number of provisions providing additional authorization to that district. The provision in this draft only extends or corrects the description of the eastern boundary of that district. Section 4 is a provision that was authored by Senator Saxhog that authorizes the city of Cohasset to use tax increments from two existing districts in the city to essentially reimburse the city for some of its expenditures prior to the creation of those districts. And it's limited to expenditures that would have been eligible for the use of tax increments under general law. Section 5 is a provision providing authorization for an extension of the duration of a district in the city of Lionel Lakes and enabling the city to use increments from that district to support another tax increment financing district that was in the city. That was a bill of Senator Chamberlain's. Article 6 is the minerals article. A number of the sections here in the beginning of the article were taken from an amendment offered by Senator Ortman to Senator Tomasoni's bill yesterday and deal with the taxation of non-ferrous mining activity that's expected to begin to occur in the state. The first section makes it clear that non-ferrous mining companies, similar to other existing mining companies, would be exempt from the corporate income tax. Section 2 provides a sales tax exemption for that currently applies to materials that are consumed in the production of taconite, so that this would also apply to similar materials that are consumed in the production of other ores. Section 3 adds a definition of refining to the minerals taxation chapter in the statutes, because that is going to be a term that's used in the non-ferrous provisions. Section 4 makes it clear that the occupation tax for non-ferrous minerals also applies to refining and includes metals or minerals, and specifies that mining would also include the application of hydrometallurgical processes. Sections 4 and 5 are inclusions of references to the non-ferrous mining activities into provisions of the mining or the minerals laws where it would be appropriate to cover the non-ferrous. Section 7 provides that the deductions that will be used in determining net proceeds would be the same as those that are used in the computation of the occupation tax. Section 8 is a definition of metals or mineral products that generally comprehends the same kinds of activities that will be subject to the non-ferrous mining provisions. Section 9 is the elimination of an internal reference to a distribution of taconite production tax proceeds to the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools. Section 10 is an amendment to the determination of the rate of the taconite production tax that will be in effect for taconite produced in 2011. and subsequent years. There are two changes to this determination of the tax rate. The first is that the provision in current law that provides that the tax rate will be subject to an implicit price deflator is stricken for future years, so that the rate will be set. And the other is that the rate is actually reduced to account for the elimination of distributions to the Taconite Economic Development Fund, the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, and a distribution to the City of Eveleth that was for the support of the Hockey Hall of Fame. That would have ended with distributions in 2011, that latter distribution. But the amounts that were distributed for those purposes are also reduced from the cents per ton rate that's calculated under this section. Section 11 strikes a reference to the distribution out of the city and town account to the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, and also strikes a reference to the adjustment of that distribution by the amount of the inflator. Then a number of the, actually all of the remaining sections, 12, 13, 14, and 15, are intended to take into account the current rate for distributions that are made in 2011 to these particular recipients and essentially freeze them going forward so they will no longer be inflated with the implicit price deflator. And the statutory, in some instances, the statutory amount is actually, for example, if you look at Section 13, the statutory amount for the IRRRB is 6.5, but because that had been inflated with the deflator, it's currently 8.3. So the intention here is to freeze those distributions at their current levels. In the repealer, paragraph A repeals the provision that establishes the Taconite Economic Development Fund and the distributions that currently go to the Range Association of Municipalities and Schools, the Taconite Economic Development Fund, and to the City of Eveleth. Paragraph B repeals a provision that currently appropriates a state aid amount equal to a tax of 22 cents per ton, which had been distributed into the production tax distribution formula. And paragraph C repeals a provision that had established the deductions for the computation of the non-ferrous net proceeds tax that had been replaced by a different reference earlier in this article. Article 7 is the miscellaneous article. Sections 1 and 2 are taken from the bill of Senator Ortman's that enables ambulance services to be a direct claimant under the revenue recapture program rather than going through the county as a claimant agency. Section 3 is a bill, of Senator Ortman's that requires that the tax incidence report would also include information on the distribution of federal taxes as they burden Minnesota taxpayers. Section 4 is an appropriation to the Commissioner of Revenue to meet the cost of that change in the tax incident report.
So that is an introduction by council of the language in the bill. We also have Susan Von Mosch, who is the fiscal analyst for the tax committee, and she will review the spreadsheet that shows how we reached our target and what the impacts are for each of the provisions that have just been summarized.
Madam Chair, members, starting with page 1 of the spreadsheet on line 4, we're starting with the individual income tax provisions. On line 4, we have Senator Daley's bill for a phased-in income tax subtraction for military pension and retirement pay. In fiscal years 12 and 13, that has a cost of approximately $11.3 million, and in fiscal year 14 and 15, $24.2 million. On line 5, Senator Cruz is modifying the K-12 education credit to include tuition expenses. In fiscal year 12 and 13, that bill has a cost of $10.7 million, and in fiscal year 14 and 15, $11 million. Line 6, Senator Miller's bill to requiring a study of reciprocity, that does not have any cost at this time because there are too many variables in the negotiation process to that would need to be determined in order to estimate a cost. In line 7, Senator Benson's bill on the tax checkoff that would be going into the state budget reserve. Right now, that bill has an unknown cost just because we don't know how many people would participate in that program. We do have some appropriation costs later on in the spreadsheet that relate to that. So the subtotal for individual income tax for fiscal years 12 and 13 is 21.999 or $22 million, and for fiscal year 14 and 15, it's $35.2 million. Moving down to estate tax on lines 11 through 14 is Senator Benson's bill that relates to the qualified small farm or farm and small business property tax exclusion for $2 million each. And you see the line item breakouts for each of the qualified farm exclusion and the small business exclusion. Combined, the estate tax total is $7 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $9 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. Right below that on line 17 is the state levy. Senator Michelle's bill in Senate File 1 modified a little bit from that bill. It reduces the levy and phases it out. It reduces the levy to about $742 million in taxes payable 12 and 13, and then reduces it 5% per year for the next 2 years, 10% for the next 2 years, ultimately phasing it out in 2024. This provides property tax relief of $114.2 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $282.3 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. The next section of the spreadsheet, starting on line 20, are the sales tax exemptions. For this section of the spreadsheet, each item will have two lines. The first line is the general fund impact, and the second line is the impact on the natural resources and arts funds or the legacy constitutionally dedicated funds. The first item on line 20 is the exemption for townships from the sales tax. That was both introduced as part of Senator DeCroix's bill and Senator Rest's bill. That shows a cost to the general fund of $1.9 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $2.2 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. Line 22 is Senator Carlson's exemption for commuter aircraft repair and part maintenance parts. It has a cost of $2.1 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $2.2 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. Senator Howe's bill on line 24 to expand the exemption for durable medical equipment. This takes into account the amendments that were considered and passed in the tax committee the day that bill was heard, and it also uses an effective date of July 1, 2011, so it is not retroactive. This bill has a cost of $6.6 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $7.6 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. On line 26 is Senator Howe's bill on exempting the resale ticket purchases, which we just heard yesterday, and we do not yet have a revenue estimate on that, so that bill, that estimate is pending. line 28 shows the subtotal for the sales tax exemptions for fiscal years 12 and 13, $10.6 million, and fiscal years 14 and 15, a cost of $12 million. At the top of page 2, we have the local option sales and use tax provisions. There are line 23 is Senator Ortman's bill authorizing cities to impose a local sales tax of up to 0.5%. Ms. Pollack mentioned, that now has an offset, a potential offset for some of the local government aid payments. Following that, we have Senator Hoffman's provision for Fergus Falls, Senator Newman's provision for Hutchinson, Senator Koch's provision for Clearwater, Senator Miller's provision for Lanesboro, and Senator Senjum's provision for Rochester. On line 40, other provisions is Senator Ortman's provision on the revenue recapture for ambulance services. On line 43, Senate File 47 was signed this week as Chapter 8. It enacted Tax Year 10 fiscal federal conformity, and it repealed the delayed corporate and sales tax refunds. The net fiscal impact of that bill was an additional $6.06 million in fiscal years 12 and 13, and we are including that in our goal to our targets. So on line 45, the general fund tax revenue changes total for fiscal years 12 and 13, $147,739,000. And for fiscal years 14 and 15, $338,500,000. Moving down to the second part of the spreadsheet, we have tax expenditure changes. The first item on line 51 is Senator Wieger's modified duration limit for the homestead valuation for surviving spouses of disabled veterans. This produces a small amount of revenue because of property tax refund interactions, $100,000 in fiscal years 12 and 13, and $309,000 in fiscal years 14 and 15. Line 52 is Senator Rosen's personal property tax exemption for an electronic generation facility that does not have any costs. Line 52, Senator Gazelka's provision for increasing the holding period for tax-exempt property for economic development. That does not have a cost. Line 54, Senator Vandeveer's Green Acres appeals of denial provision. That does not have a cost. And line 55, Senator Miller's modification of the Rural Preserve Property Program has a small cost of $35,000 in fiscal years 12 and 13, and $70,000 in fiscal years 14 and 15. Moving to the top of the third page, property tax refunds. Line 59 shows the fiscal impact of expansion of the homeowner property tax refund. This provides property tax relief of $44.3 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $96.5 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. The next three items are provisions that were in Senate File 60 or House File 130. The first item on line 60 is reducing the renter property tax refund from 19 to 15%. Which produces reductions of 105.7 in fiscal year 12 and 13 and 108.5 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. The next line eliminates the sustainable forestry program for a savings of about 31 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and 36.7 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. Line 62 repeals the political contribution refund for a savings of $11.8 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $12 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. The next section summarizes the changes that are being made to local government aids. The first several sections are, the first four items are items that were in Senate File 60 or House File 130, as they were discussed earlier this session. The first item is a reduction in local government aid for $203.8 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $201.3 in 14 and 15. The reduction in county program aid is the next item, a reduction of $72.7 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $64 million in 14 and 15. The reduction in market value credit for cities in this one, we only reduce it for the first year, pay 11 fiscal year 12, and that has a savings of $48 million when you round up. And similarly, for the next item on line 69, we have the reduction in market value credit just for the first year, pay 11 or fiscal 12 for a savings of $56 million. Then the Senate, as Mr. Paulson summarized, replaces market value credit with a property tax exclusion in pay 12, fiscal 13 for a reduction of $261.2 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $538.6 million in 14 and 15. There is a modification to the ag market value credit, agricultural market value credit. In the first year, fiscal year 12, that is the reduction that was involved for cities to Senate File 60, and then the other items on that line are an adjustment made when we repeal the market value credit as part of the bigger repeal and exclusion. Line 72 is the local government aid base adjust payment for the city of Houston, which was also in the original Senate File 60. In line 74, that reflects the reduction or the elimination of disparity reduction aid for cities and towns beginning in pay 12, fiscal 13, a reduction of $10 million in each year. Line 75 is the phase out of the border city disparity credit for both cities and school districts. It's a reduction of 25% a year beginning in pay 12, fiscal 13, for a reduction of $1.5 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $7.7 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. Line 76 is the elimination of the wetland reimbursement credit for a small reduction of $26,000 in each biennium. Line 77 eliminates the general fund contribution of 22 cents per ton for the taconite state aid program, a reduction of $14.1 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $17 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. Line 78 is the reduction in the payment of payment in lieu of taxes by 15% and removing the inflation factor, a reduction of $7.8 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $8.5 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. The next two line items are the property tax interactions with the levy changes for a combination of the aid reductions and also the fact that we are expanding the homeowner property tax refund program. The property tax interactions are $17.4 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $17.7 million in 14 and 15. We also have corresponding income tax interactions of $14.5 million in 12 and 13 and $15.2 million in 14 and 15. The next line item involves interaction with our budget area and the E12 budget area. The E12 budget area is extending the aid shift that was put in place last year. And as part of that extension, there will be payment reductions. Some of those payment reductions that result in savings affect our property tax aides, those that go to school districts. When we shift the way we're dealing with market value credit and reduce that, and when we reduce the border city reduction or the border city disparity credit, we affect the savings. We basically take away the savings that the education area wants to be booking. And so what we're doing in this item, line item, is we're basically paying back the education area so that they can meet their target. The next section of the bill is appropriations. On line 86, we have $3.5 million per year for the local government consolidation innovation grants program, $7 million total for fiscal year 12 and 13. On line 87 is the cost of doing Senator Reinhart's Minnesota-Wisconsin income tax reciprocity study. That is about a little over $800,000. We just got a fiscal note on that yesterday, and so the cost went up considerably from what it was last year when it was estimated. On line 88, the administrative costs of implementing the tax checkoff for the state budget reserve. And on line 89, the costs of expanding the tax incident study. And then the next set of items are the tax increment financing items that are in the bill. The bottom line on line 98 for changes in general fund tax expenditure changes is that there are appropriation reductions of $727,977,000 in fiscal year 12 and 13, $883,707,000 in fiscal year 14 and 15. This represents, in fiscal year 12 and 13, a 20.8% reduction in our base budget, our base February budget, and 24.5% reduction in our base budget for 14 and 15. When you take into account both the revenue and the expenditure changes on line 5, this bill has appropriation reductions of $580 million, and our target was $580,238,000, and our target was $580 million when you consider our spending reductions and the fact that we have that tax relief budget also. So we end up with a bottom line on line 108 of $238,000. Madam Chair.
Ms. Von Mosch, questions about this spreadsheet for Ms. Von Mosch or for Council? Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, my recollection may not be right, but I thought the committee's target was $780 million, not $580 million. Did I?
Senator Bach, there was $200 million on the bottom line from the targets. And so that $200 million essentially directed at individual property tax relief and statewide business property tax relief.
So the tax target, Madam Chair, was adjusted?
I wouldn't say it was adjusted. There was $200 million on the bottom line for tax relief, and it happens to be included in our budget. Other questions for Council or for Ms. Von Mosch? Members, and to those here today, I apologize. There was an error in the notice of today's hearing. It suggests that public testimony will be taken today. In fact, that was not our plan. Our plan was to have the introduction of the bill, have the spreadsheets made available to folks, and the actual language in the bill summary. We have set aside quite a bit of time for public testimony on the bill. We'll begin tomorrow at 8:30, and we'll go until 11 a.m., and if necessary, we will reconvene at 6 p.m. to take further testimony in favor or in opposition to any of the provisions of the bill. On Friday, we will begin at 9:30. There's a session at 9 a.m., a Senate session, so we will begin at 9:30,
and we will take up amendments if there are any. We would ask members to have their amendments ready first thing on Friday morning so we can act with all efficiency and speed. And we will take them by article. So when you get here at 9:30, we'll begin with the first numbers of the articles and proceed accordingly. If we have to come back around a second time through each of the articles, we will, but we would appreciate it if we could try and have a discussion in the context for each of those amendments and see what the impact might be for the overall article. And then also on Friday, we will have the education omnibus bill. There are some tax provisions in there that we will be asked to review. And also the transportation bill has a couple of items where that bill will be directed here for the purpose of reviewing the tax provisions and impacts. So that's our schedule for the remainder of the week. Are other questions from Senator Pogue-Miller? Questions?
Yeah, Madam Chair, do you have preference on amendments? Do they need to internally balance? And would you like them to internally balance, or what's your preference on that?
Well, Senator Pogue-Miller, I think that would be the best way to proceed is if they internally balance, because pretty hard to vote on an amendment if it throws off the targets and you know what the result will be. We are not likely to support any amendment that doesn't balance to the target. Other questions for members? Members, thank you for your work on this bill, and to staff, I really appreciate all that you've accomplished in getting this work done on a timely basis. Without further business, we are adjourned until tomorrow.